From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and also we'll be taking phone calls at the half here and all of next hour with Pharmacist Ben. We'll take your text and tweets. Tom has those back in the L.A. studio on your questions, and I've got some email questions from you as well. Pharmacist Ben is a registered pharmacist, nutritionist, spokesperson for CriticalHealthNews.com, along with Doc Wallach. Again, that website, CriticalHealthNews.com. Keep it, and that toll-free number to call for assistance. Great people. There, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. Simple to remember. Ben, welcome and happy holidays, my friend.
Happy holidays to you and a blessed new year. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas and holiday season.
Gosh, I've got a slew of emails that have been flying in since people knew you were going to be on the show with the holiday season. Should people supplement a little differently as they get into Christmas and the rest of the holidays?
Well, absolutely, for a couple reasons. First of all, because of the just normal stress that people go under with during the Christmas season, during the holiday season, traveling and preparing and family and all the things that cause stress in our lives seem to be higher during the holiday season. And so using nutritional supplements can help alleviate some of that stress. And secondly, during the holiday season, especially around Christmas and Thanksgiving and Christmas, we tend to eat a lot more food. And one of the best ways to reduce your intake of food, one of the best appetite suppressants, is nutritional supplements. A lot of times we eat calories because we're looking for micronutrients, and that's why people lose weight, and that's why people tend to eat less when they start a nutritional supplement program. So for reducing stress and also for helping reduce appetite or keeping yourself from overeating, nutritional supplementation is extra important during the holiday season.
Last week, we had an individual who called us during the show, and he talked about some of his ailments, and he described himself to a T, where I knew the folks at CriticalHealthNews.com could help him. So I called them and said, help this person, and, you know, it's on me. And they took care of it for him. So hopefully he should get his supplements any day now.
They do great work over there. And I should also remind people, if they can't get through on the phones, you can always email criticalhealthnews@gmail.com, criticalhealthnews@gmail.com, and they're always happy to answer.
Well, and the apps are up and running, too. How convenient is that?
Isn't that cool?
I love it. I love technology. Look, I got an email in from Debbie, regular listener, member of Youngevity. She says her son is in the Peace Corps. He's in Senegal. He's in a very remote village suffering with dysentery, asking you, what should he do? You know, one of the things I would have said was probiotics, but how about you?
Well, you're pretty smart, George.
I've learned from you and Doc,
Awesome. That's awesome. Dysentery is pretty darn miserable. One of the best things you could do if you have dysentery is charcoal, activated charcoal, or also bentonite clay. That can help reduce some of the problems with the diarrhea and the loose stools and adsorb some of the bacteria as well. And then you're going to, when you have diarrhea, you tend to, dysentery causes nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, you tend to lose nutrients, especially electrolyte nutrients.
Say dysentery, sounds better.
So making sure you're replacing those electrolytes is really, really important, beyond Tangy Tangerine, if you're using Youngevity products, or vegetable juices are a great way to help replace electrolytes. That's the main problem with vomiting and dysentery symptoms, is you lose nutrients. That's one of the main problems, and then replacing them is really important.
So, Ben, you know, with everything that you've been helping people over the years, for you personally, what has been really the most satisfying thing you've given in terms of advice to someone?
The most satisfying thing to me, George, is when people see the power of these nutritional strategies, and really lifestyle strategies, not just nutritional strategies that we talk about. It's lifestyle strategies that we talk about. And they see the power of these strategies. There's so many times, countless times, that people have gotten benefits from these things that we talk about, nutritional supplementation, deep breathing, relaxing the body, that they don't get from the medical model, from the representatives of the medical model. I mean, something like, just for example, just to give you a simple example, autoimmune diseases. If you go to a mainstream medical person professionally and talk about autoimmune diseases, they'll tell you there's no known cause, they'll tell you there's no cure. But if you start to apply some of these lifestyle strategies that you and I talk about here every month, things like nutritional supplementation, patching up a leaky gut, making sure you're staying away from problem foods, little simple things like that, you get far more relief than you do from medical strategies, medical model strategies. And when people see this, it's so gratifying because it's a way that I personally can give back to the human race to show people how powerful we really are, how powerful our bodies are, and how powerful and impactful our lifestyle choices are. George, disease is largely a lifestyle problem. This is so important to recognize because it gives us leverage over our illnesses. It gives us a way to access our health that the medical model isn't telling us about, either through ignorance or through profit incentives. For whatever reason, we're not getting this kind of message from the people we're trusting with our health. And I don't want to ascribe nefarious motives for it, but the fact is that we have more doctors per capita than any culture in the history of the planet. We're the most medicalized culture. We have the most health care. We have taking the most drugs. And at the same time, we are the sickest, most obese, most cancer-ridden, most chronic degenerative disease-ridden culture in the history of mankind. Clearly, there is something wrong. The medical model has failed us. And for me, what's most gratifying is when people can see for themselves the improvement that they can make in their lives in terms of their health with simple little things like nutritional strategies, dietary strategies, lifestyle strategies, spiritual, emotional, and mental strategies. That's, to me, that's the most gratifying thing.
Well, and it tells and it shows that you really care about what you're talking about, Ben.
100%. I'm a human being on the planet, too. I've got a mom who is elderly. I've got a brother. I've got a kid. I've got a grandkid now. I've got people in my life I care about. I've got my patients. These are human beings. And, you know, pharmacy is an intimate profession because we see people in pain. We see people suffering. And when you can see the change that somebody makes in their lives in terms of inflammation and immunity and skin health and longevity, it's just beyond gratifying.
All right, we'll be back with phone calls with pharmacist Ben in a moment on criticalhealthnews.com. Also, again, the toll-free number for assistance, 1-855-949-7234. Welcome back to Coast, pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us from criticalhealthnews.com. And again, his toll-free number for calling information, not to get on the show, 1-855-949-7234, 1-855-949-RADIO. And pharmacist Ben back with us. We'll get to your calls. We will take calls next hour with pharmacist Ben as well, as he's given us some information for the holidays. Why do people sometimes eat themselves too much?
Dopamine.
Really?
Reward. We eat for reward. We don't eat for, most of the time anyway, we don't eat for hunger. We eat because it makes us happy. We eat because we get a burst of reward chemicals. That's interesting, George. Reward chemicals, or reward neurotransmitters, brain chemicals, are secreted when we get calories, but they're also secreted when we accomplish a goal, when we achieve something. You know, I like you like pistachios, George? You eat pistachios?
Yeah. I sure
do.
You
notice how nowadays you can get bags of pistachios that are already shelled for you? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You already have the shells out. And sometimes I'll buy them, but they're not...
They're expensive.
They're expensive. And you would think that they would be... It would be really a great thrill to have a bunch of pistachios already shelled for you. All you got to do is, you know, get a handful of pistachios. You don't have to do any work. But there's something unsatisfying about them. On the other hand, when you shell pistachios, it's almost like addicting, because every time you open up a shell, you get a surge of reward.
Yeah, that's right. You want another one, then
right?
Another one.
Exactly. You can't stop doing it. We are addicted to reward chemistry. We're addicted to dopamine. And dopamine can be a reward chemical. The reward chemical, dopamine, can be secreted when you accomplish a goal.
Some guy sent me an email years ago and said, I'm addicted to your show like peanuts. because once you eat one, you got to get another one.
Well, learning a new the aha experience. Have you heard of this thing, the aha experience? When you make an aha, like, oh my God, like an epiphany, that also upregulates dopamine. Finishing a project, cleaning the garage, cleaning the kitchen, writing that, finishing that letter, doing your taxes, even opening a door helps secrete dopamine. So what you want to do is you want to find ways to reward, to access reward chemistry, accomplish things, finish projects. Those are all the ways that we, those are all helpful ways to leverage dopamine, to leverage reward chemistry. In lieu of that, we'll end up eating more calories because that's an easy way to upregulate dopamine.
Ben, since you've been doing this, and how many years has it been?
Doing with you?
With Youngevity.
With Youngevity, 20 years.
20 years.
Since the beginning.
When you first started coming in, did you see people change over the 20 years with their supplementation? Have you seen a change?
In terms
of... With people?
In terms of understanding how the importance of supplementing?
And taking care of themselves
absolutely.
More.
Absolutely. 20 years ago, you were almost, it was almost like you were a health nut. Remember the term health nut? People, if you did vitamins or you did supplements or you watched your diet or you exercised, you were considered a nut. Now it's gone mainstream. You know, Dr. Wallach, when he started 40 years ago or 50 years ago, it was crazy. And 20 years ago, even, it was a little odd. But now there's it's more accepted. It's more there's a more tangible understanding of the importance of supplementation. You know what, George? You know why that is? It's because it works. Supplementation, nutritional supplementation, is a powerful way to restore the body's nutrient status, which should be in foods. We should be getting our nutrients from foods. Ideally, that's how we should be doing it. I don't even like the fact that we have to supplement, George. But the fact is that our foods are corrupted. We're too busy to eat correctly. The soils don't have the minerals they need to have. Our food supply is obsessed with shipping and shelf lives and storage. And so the foods don't have what they need. And supplementation at this point in the year 2018, going on 2019, in the United States of America, is not an option.
Can you over-supplement?
With some supplements, you can, absolutely.
Because, you know, here's an example. I don't want to interrupt. Well, go ahead with your answer first,
yeah,
and I'll tell you what I do.
There are minerals that you have to, that you don't want to over... You're not going to die. You can't. It's not like a drug where you're going to kill yourself, but you may run into what's called hypervitaminosis, which is maybe you may get some jaundice, or you may put a little stress on your liver. With some of the minerals, if you take too much, you may get into some toxicity or side effects, but then none of them are going to be fatal. But there are some minerals that you want to be a little bit careful with, and there's some of the vitamins that are actually hormones, particularly vitamin A and vitamin D, which are, we call them vitamins, but they're really hormones. And those you can go into a little bit of a hypervitaminosis, although it won't be fatal. You'll have a little bit of toxicity or side effects, and then when you stop taking the vitamins, they'll go away. So it's not like a drug. And this is a very important point. They have therapeutic benefits in the sense that if you're dealing with psoriasis or an autoimmune problem or heart disease, that you can get therapeutic benefits from the B complex and vitamin C and minerals and such. But they're not like drugs where the body is absolutely compelled to perform a behavior. A drug compels cells to do things. Nutrients ask cells to do things. A drug has to be detoxified. Nutrients are processed and incorporated into normal biochemical reactions. The number one side effect with prescription drugs, George, is nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. And the reason and GI problems. And the reason this is the number one side effect is because when you take a drug, the body's number one goal is to get that thing out of the system. With a nutrient, you take in vitamins, you take in minerals, the body uses them, incorporates them into the structure of the body, incorporates them into biochemical reactions. This doesn't happen with drugs. Drugs compel the body into performing behaviors. Nutrients ask the body to perform behaviors.
Now, see, this is what I do. I will take a tablet for whatever I'm taking. If I have 15 different supplements, I'll take 15 different tablets in the morning. Now, Doc will tell you, and, you know, I'm not arguing with him, but he will tell you, you know, if you weigh 175 pounds, take 8 tablets a day for this, 12 for this. I just take one.
Well, you know, go by your results is what I say.
And it's working for me.
Yeah, I call it functional dosing. Go by the results you get. If you take a little more, you get more benefits, then stay at that dose. If you take a little more and you don't notice benefits, then stay at the dose, the previous dose. That's called functional dosing. That's probably the best way to do it. Although, Doc, you know, his point is well taken in the sense that if you want to do it absolutely 100% correctly, it probably is a good idea to take it based on body weight, the amount.
Well, and if you have a shortage of something, let's just say you go ahead, and I think everybody should get a blood chemistry test, then you know exactly where you are and what you need to work on. But if you have a shortage, you know, I would agree, you know, increase your dosage a little bit. But if,
yeah,
you're,
if you have a cholesterol problem, for example, take a little bit more niacin. If you have a blood sugar problem, you may need a little bit more chromium or vanadium, mm-hmm, magnesium. If you have a digestive problem, you may need a little bit more digestive enzymes, or you may need a little bit more of the amino acid glutamine. These are all functional. Functional strategies for addressing specific needs.
With pharmacist Ben Fuchs from criticalhealthnews.com. We will take calls next hour as well. And let us begin by going east of the Rockies to Donna in Huntsville, Alabama. Hello, Donna.
Hi, Mr. Norrie. I hope you're staying well out of everything that's going around.
So far, so good.
Mr. Hey, Donna. Fuchs, I've got so much. I'm trying to delineate this quickly. I was treated with daptomycin spring of 17 by IV in the hospital for cellulitis. They were turned out, I was told I was going to be under that for 10 days, and I was in and out in 5. Come to find out, it's supposed to be given every 48 hours, and this individual was pushing it on me every 24 hours. I went into, a few months later, I got a very bad case of strep, which I haven't had, that hemophilia. And now I've been positive cultured with Pseudomonas and Klebsiella, and it's coming from my chest area. They're running me around to different doctors, and it's stupid because all I need to know is, you know, we've already diagnosed it. Just treat the stupid thing and let me get on with my life. I don't want to be spending hundreds of dollars on this. What is the best thing for me to do? My ENT cannot give me oral antibiotics because they don't work on me. I have to take something through IV.
That's a terrible situation. It's called antibiotic resistance, and it's a tragic situation. It's caused by overuse of antibiotics, antibiotics in fish, antibiotics in meat, antibiotics in dairy, antibiotics in the water, antibiotics taken intentionally. It's a big problem. My dear Donna, you need to start strengthening your immune system. Now, there's a lot of ways to do it. First thing I would be doing is working on probiotics in the digestive system. The digestive system is where your immune system lives. It's the headquarters of your immune system. There are satellites in the skin and various parts of the body that act as parts of the immune system, but its headquarters is in the intestine. So you got to get yourself on a good probiotic supplement like the Nightly Essence from Youngevity. Make sure that you're using things that support digestive health. Make sure you're staying away from problem foods. Make sure that you're keeping your blood sugar stable. Anything you could do to strengthen the immune system. Specific nutrients, selenium, zinc is very important for the immune system. The entire B complex is important for the immune system. You may want to do a food diary and start to eliminate problem foods, focusing on gut health. Anything you do to strengthen the immune system, because that's where your problem is. And then also, of course, as George knows I'm going to say, good old chicken soup.
Oh, yeah. You love that. There's nothing wrong with that. Tom's got a text or tweet back in L.A. What do you have, Tommy?
Hey, Ben, this is from somebody named Gummy in California. Please ask Ben if a person gets nutrition through herbal teas and what's the best tea to drink. I don't like vegetables.
There's no real nutrition. There's a little bit of nutrition in herbal tea, but I wouldn't say that. I would say herbal tea is more medicinal than it is nutritional. Not that there's definitely benefits, and there's also a little bit of nutrients in there, but it's not like you can get all your nutrients or even a good amount of nutrients from herbal teas. Not that they're not valuable for things like relaxation or sometimes for cardiovascular benefits or liver health benefits. If you're doing chamomile tea or lavender tea, there's various teas that are tasty, but it's not a great way to get nutrition. If you don't like vegetables, that's an extra reason why you don't want to get on a nutritional supplement program. Nonetheless, there are things in vegetables that don't count as essential nutrients, but they are still essential. They're called phytonutrients. nutrients, plant nutrients. We know them as carotenes, beta carotene, for example, or also bioflavonoids. And they're really not, there's no way to duplicate them. So if you don't like vegetables, you may want to think about a good way to get vegetables into your system. One of the best ways to get vegetables into your system if you don't like them is to steam them slightly, because that releases the sugar. You know how onions don't taste sweet, but when you braise your onions, all of a sudden the sugar is released and they actually taste sweet. Likewise with garlic. Broccoli, too. And I know you don't like broccoli, George.
I love it.
Oh, you like broccoli. Okay.
I love it.
Okay, so steamed broccoli. So figure out a way to get the
And you're thinking of George Bush. He hated it.
He didn't like broccoli. But the cruciferous vegetables are bitter if they're not cooked, but once you steam, but if you steam them slightly, they become very sweet. And I find it very difficult to believe somebody wouldn't like steamed broccoli with butter and salt on top of it.
Let's go to Patrick in Miami. Hi, Patrick. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's always kind of fun to talk to you guys, because half the time when I listen to George, you know, the world's got to come to an end. But
no.
George, yourself, and Doc Wallach, I think I'm going to live forever. And so
that's the name of the game, Patrick.
I know. And Ben, you know, I was just thinking, I mean, it's the minerals to me that is so important that I've never really gotten until I got on the program with the regiment, you know, with what you guys provide. I have a hard time, you know, staying asleep. And, you know, magnesium and calcium I know is important. You also just mentioned something that I thought very important was about the, you know, that the endorphins, maybe that. Should I be eating some carbohydrates before I go to bed?
No, but you might want a little bit of protein before you go to bed.
Why is that, Ben?
Because protein breaks down slowly and will form, will keep you from going into low blood sugar. A lot of times, if you know, our body's working during the night, and a lot of times, if we don't have energy, we'll go into low blood sugar states in the middle of the night. And that hypoglycemia, that low blood sugar state, will trigger a surge of stress hormone, cortisol. Under conditions of cortisol, you wake up in the middle of the night. So if you can keep your blood sugar stable throughout the night, you won't go into that low blood sugar state, and that'll keep you sleeping longer. And a little bit of protein before you go to bed will tend to keep your blood sugar a little bit more even during the evening. So maybe a little bit of whey protein, for example, if you can do that, or even maybe half an egg. You don't want to eat too much before you go to bed, but just a little bit of protein.
And why is magnesium so important for the heart, Ben?
Magnesium is not only the most important mineral, but it's involved in more chemical reactions in the body than any other mineral, and it's the number one deficiency. So magnesium is responsible for helping the relaxation response. It balances out calcium, and compared to magnesium, we get far more calcium than we do to magnesium. Calcium causes contractions of muscle, causes tightness. Magnesium has an opposing effect, has a relaxing effect. We have an issue in our country. Drinking a lot of milk, a lot of dairy. We get a lot of calcium, and ironically, we have more osteoporosis than any other country in the world, and we get more calcium than any other country in the world. So, using magnesium can help balance out that excess calcium, which tends to be contracting. Magnesium has a relaxing effect, especially important for blood sugar and the heart. And we know that heart disease is the number one killer, and we know that diabetes is the number three killer. So, magnesium is tremendously valuable. It's a vegetable mineral. It's also found in nuts and in grains, but it's found in vegetables, green leafy vegetables. And because we don't tend to eat our green leafy vegetables, a lot of folks are magnesium deficient. You throw in soil deficiencies, and between poor eating and poor soil, poor agricultural techniques, a lot of us are magnesium deficient. You'll know you're magnesium deficient. One of the ways is if you're jittery, or you can't relax, or you can't sleep, heart problem, cardiovascular health issues, all of these short blood sugar issues, all of these are signs of magnesium deficiency.
Let's go to Roberta in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, Roberta.
Hello.
Good to have you with us.
Can you tell me how to patch up a leaky gut?
I love it.
A leaky gut, Ben. We've got 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Patch up a leaky gut. Well, lots of ways to do it. The gut is made up, strengthened by something called connective tissue. The connective tissue breaks down globally in the body. Leaky gut is wrinkles of the intestine. It's arthritis of the intestine. It's vascular disease of the intestine. In other words, the connective tissue breaks down in the blood vessels, you get vascular disease and heart disease. It breaks down in the joints, you get arthritis. It breaks down in the skin, you get wrinkles, and it breaks down in the intestine, you get leaky gut. So strengthening the connective tissue is the number one strategy for protecting, for preventing leaky gut. You do it a lot of different ways. Bone broth protein, there's an amino acid called glutamine that will help. Vitamin C is extremely important. Make sure you're using probiotics, good nutritional nutritional supplement probiotics, as well as fermented foods, fermented vegetables. Get on the nightly essence from Youngevity. Use digestive enzymes with your meals, apple cider vinegar with all of your meals. There's a nutrient called hyaluronic acid that can be helpful for patching a leaky gut. Youngevity's got a great product called the GlucoGel Caps, which is marketed as an arthritis product. But because leaky gut is arthritis of the intestine, you'll help your intestine. You'll also help prevent wrinkles with the GlucoGel Caps, and you'll also help prevent heart disease with the GlucoGel Caps as well. Strengthen that connective tissue. That's the key.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs with us. We're going to take final questions next hour. Those of you on hold, we will get to. Those of you calling, we'll get to you as well. Pharmacist Ben with criticalhealthnews.com. Hit that website, folks. Slam it. I love it when we try to shut it down, though they've been pretty good at keeping that server going over the last couple months. criticalhealthnews.com. And the toll-free number to call tonight, tomorrow, whenever you want. 1-855-949-RADIO. 1-855-949-7234. Pharmacist Ben Fuchs pops up every 3 weeks or so on the show to help you.